Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. Thanks so much for joining me. And today I'm going to talk about something that I think is, one of the things that I've actually been thinking about quite a bit in this world that we're living in with, all partisan politics and everything that's happening. And what I want to talk about is this idea of how do you speak your truth in a way that doesn't hurt other people? You know, how do you speak your truth in a way that isn't diluted, right? That you're, not diluted, but diluted, I should say. How do you say what you need to say, but knowing that maybe what you say might anger other people? And we've talked about, speaking up, but I'm a big believer that it's important for us to, when we do speak our truth, it shouldn't be with the intention of hurting other people, not intentionally to hurt other people. And at the same time, obviously, we don't want to not say something just because other people might be offended by what we say, particularly, again, if what we say is really our truth. So how do we manage that distinction? And so that's what I'm going to talk about. Now, the reason this came to mind is because there's so many things going on right now in this world. I was thinking about recently, I had the opportunity, one of the podcasts that I produced called The Will to Change, the host, Jennifer Brown, was talking to the president of the Golden State Warriors, and they were talking about the NBA had moved the All-Star game. They'd moved it from Charlotte to New Orleans this past year because of the so-called bathroom bill that had passed was considering passage in North Carolina that would ban transgendered people from using the bathroom of the gender that they identify with and would force them to use whatever gender that they're born with. And so that's an example of an issue where you could speak out on, either side of that and speak your truth, and perhaps it would anger or upset other people, right? Now, I mean, the easy thing to say is just to say, well, who cares what other people say? You have to speak out for what's right. And on one level, I agree with that. We do have to be able to say what's true and to speak out for what we believe is right. And I would never say to, like I said, hold back your truth because it hurts someone else. But at the same time, there has to be a way in which we're able to say what we believe and at the same time hold a space for someone else. I don't think that it's helpful to scream at each other. I don't think that it's helpful to say that because someone else doesn't agree with me, it automatically means that they're a bigot or that they don't, that they're intolerant. Even if, let's say, I really do think that that person in this example is being short-sighted. I mean, I will say that, for example, I am definitely against that bathroom bill. I don't think that it serves any purpose. I don't think that transgendered people, there's absolutely no evidence that transgendered people are more likely to become sexual predators in bathrooms. I think that that's a distraction from the real issue of inclusion of transgendered people into society. And it was used in many ways for African-American community. It was used for other people too. So, I mean, that's definitely my feeling about it. But at the same time, how do I hold the space for someone that might feel differently? Now, again, what's the difference, right? And part of what I want to talk about here is this idea that speaking our truth is important, but then being able to listen and hold a space for others is also really important because, Stephen Covey, I think I talked about this before, Stephen Covey, one of the principles in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he says, seek first to understand, then be understood. It's really important that we be able to hold that space to understand other people, because if we're going to create change, if we're going to not just speak our truth to the people that, preach to the choir, right? I think if you're listening to this, then you're someone who says, I want to do more than just speak to the choir, because preaching to the choir in reality does not affect change. It doesn't create change. It does what all of the other media are doing, which is to harden and reinforce your own position and position the people who don't agree with you as either left-wing maniacs or right-wing nuts, right? And that's kind of where we are right now. And I don't think either one really gets us to creating change. So it's an interesting thing because I don't think that there's any one simple solution. You know, this isn't one of those episodes where I'm going to say, here's the three things to do to speak your truth and balance out other people and your own voice. But I'll give you some principles that I think have worked well for me and for clients that I've worked with. And hopefully you can then take this and implement it in your own life. But again, it really isn't that simple because there is a tension between speaking our truth and not worrying so much about what other people think. And at the same time, I do think that there is something to be said for having consideration of other people, because if we don't, then we really are only speaking to ourselves. And I just don't think that that's, in my experience, that doesn't get us anywhere either, because really creating change is about reaching people that may not agree with you and perhaps persuading them. So one of the things I think that's really helpful is to frame out, if you can, to frame out an issue based on your own experience. You know, this is how I see the world. This is what I see. You know, Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller, he talks about this idea of being an evangelist, you know, and Penn is an atheist. So it's not, he doesn't mean be an evangelist in the sense that we usually think of evangelicals. But what he means is, and he does mean it to say evangelicals as well, but Penn said, you know, he believes that we should all be, you know, he really encourages people to evangelize for what you believe in the marketplace of ideas. And I think that that's, I like that a lot. You know, I like this idea that we should all sort of evangelize about what we deeply believe in, you know? And part of the thing though, then is choosing what you speak out about, you know, only to speak out about things that really you deeply care about. I mean, we all have an opinion on everything, you know, I mean, I have an opinion on just about anything in the world, if you want to ask me an opinion. But the question is, you know, what things do I really strongly believe in, right? What are the things that really matter to me that really hit home that I really care about enough to take that stand for? So one of the things that we really want to think about is, you know, what are the things that you really care about enough that you're willing to take that stand? Don't speak out on things that this would be my recommendation to you is, because speaking out is so complicated, right? Because speaking up is so complicated, don't take a stand on things that you really don't care about that much. You know, even if they're things that might be important, maybe you're not the person. Like if you don't feel that passion in your gut to speak up on this topic, then don't be the one to take it on. It's not necessary. You know, I see that all the time on social media where people are reposting things that other people are posting, and it's, you know, that's great. But if you're going to really take a stand and put your weight behind something and put your voice behind something, make sure that whatever that is something that you really care about. You know, I mean, for me, I think some of the things I really care about in terms of, you know, politically, in terms of what's going on right now in the world, I think I do care very much about the idea of, for example, excluding others from society, I think is a really bad idea. And I've certainly felt that weight of exclusion myself, you know, growing up in Virginia and living in Virginia and other places in the South in the 1970s and being Jewish and then just feeling other than and feeling excluded. And so that's something that I'm really passionate about, is the idea that we really need to encourage and include everyone. And so that's something that I would put my voice behind because it has a personal weight for me. And what that allows me to do then is to speak up in a way that I can connect it back to a personal story and connect it back to, you know, this is how I know this is how it feels. Not that I know what it's like to be, let's say, you know, an undocumented immigrant in America, but I know what it's like to be excluded. I know what it feels like, and it doesn't feel good. And I don't think that it's the best of America. I don't think it's the best of what we can be. And so, you know, that's something that that I can speak to in an emotional way. But you see what I'm saying is, if I pick a topic that I have some level of emotional connection to, automatically it gives me a little bit more wiggle room to say, you know, look, this is my experience. This is what I see. I understand that people feel like whatever the issue is putting too much burden on society, or people are worried about their safety, or whatever the arguments are. But hey, you know, this is my experience. This was my story. And if I can frame it as this is my experience, this is my story, this is how I see the world, I really think that that is a more powerful way to express your voice on a subject matter without alienating or without ironically marginalizing people that don't feel the same way that I do, or demonizing people. So holding the space for someone else's point of view, but saying, look, you know, I want to understand your point of view. I want to understand why you hold the beliefs that you do. I want to understand your perspective, but here's my perspective. I mean, I'm not changing my perspective at this moment. You know, this is how I feel. I feel really strongly about it, but I want to hear your perspective. I mean, what are your thoughts about this? Because then that creates a dialogue, right? So I've shared my voice, but I'm open to holding a dialogue. And that I think is so important. It's a big part of what we're missing right now is we can't just speak our truth, drop the mic and walk away. Maybe if you're at a convention where everyone is thinking like you and the whole point of the convention is that it's, you know, reinforcing what your beliefs are and reinforcing what you're saying, then fine. But most of the time when we think about creating change, we're talking about engaging people that don't necessarily see the world the way that we do. And it's really important that we hold the space to say, this is what I believe, this is who I am, I want to understand you, I want to understand where you're coming from. And even if we're having a hard time understanding it, it's really important. You know, I spoke about this in another episode recently, about the idea that it's really important to, if we're going to share our voice, we have to hold space for other people's voices, because how do we expect other people to listen to us if we're not willing to listen to them? And I think that that's a really important, you know, that's really important. So that's one of the main principles here. You know, first principles I want to share with you is the idea of, you know, first and foremost, make sure that what you're speaking about is something that you have some level of visceral connection to, because if you're going to take a stand on something, it really doesn't make sense to take a stand on something that you yourself don't really feel that strongly about. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I could tell you about, if you told me about GMOs, for example, I mean, I kind of understand what GMOs are, but I don't really understand it well enough. And I haven't dove into the topic. And there's someone else who's better than me to speak out on that. I just don't have the passion to speak out on that, which means that I'm probably not the person, right? That's not really where I need to be. The other thing, which I started to kind of allude to in this as well, is the power of using stories. And instead of sharing just this is what I believe, really connect it back to your own lived experience and your own stories. You know, this is what I believe because this is, let me tell you a story about my experiences. Let me tell you a story about, you know, meeting an undocumented immigrant and getting to know them and having my own mind changed about, you know, who people are. I mean, that's not something that actually happened to me, but I'm just giving an example, right? If that was true, if that were a story, that would be a great story to be able to share with people, to share with an audience. But if you can share a journey that you've gone on, also, if you've changed your mind on a subject, or you have maybe you originally took a position the opposite of, you actually had taken an opposite position originally, then that might be a, you know, that would be another reason to that you would think about, for example, being able to share that. Because if you yourself have changed your position on something and you're able to share that, that's going to be really powerful, right? Because again, you're acknowledging the other side of something to say, well, you know, I understand I used to be like that. I used to hold that position. That's what made sense to me. But I can tell you that, you know, after some time, this is what happened for me, and this is why I've come around to the other side. Or you could tell a story about somebody who changed their position. You know, maybe it's not you, but you could tell a story about somebody who changed their position in a way that's compassionate. You know, one of the stories for me that's really powerful is George Wallace, and the story of, if you remember, George Wallace was the governor of, oh man, I can't remember Brown versus Board of Education, I believe. He stood in front of the schoolhouse and stopped these young black children from coming into school. And the federal government had to intervene in order to forcibly allow the students into the school. And George Wallace said, segregation now, segregation forever. You know, he stood there and said that, and people cheered. I mean, he was definitely, you know, he believed that, you know, segregation now, segregation forever. We'll never allow we'll never allow integration of our schools. Many, many years later, after he was in a wheelchair and, you know, he had assassination attempts and he was pretty sick, he was really found himself to be kind of a broken down old man. And he came to really regret what he had said. You know, I think he genuinely came to regret what he had said about segregation now, segregation forever. And he ended up having the children that he had blocked from the school, who are now adults. This was many years later. He asked them to come to the to come to visit him, and he actually begged forgiveness of them, and they forgave him. And I thought that that was so powerful. And what a great example and a great story, I think, of the power of, we could have a belief and we could really believe something so strongly and then come around, right? We could realize that we were wrong and realize that the belief that we held was wrong, you know, and that his view of the world was one that the world had passed him by, and that, you know, we really, that idea of segregation now, segregation forever, truly was the wrong decision. And so an example like that, I think, again, gives space for people to grow and people to change. I think it's important. Yeah, you know, one of the things that's nice about stories is that in a story, there could be multiple perspectives, and there's growth and change in characters. And of course, you know, in characters, but in real people, and this, and if they're, you know, real stories. But it allows that space for us to be human. And, I don't think that it is helpful. I don't think that it's helpful to say, you know, if you don't believe what I believe, you are a bigot, you are a xenophobe, you are a racist. Even if, let's say, some percentage of those people really are xenophobes or racist, or, you know, maybe they're acting in xenophobic or bigoted or racist ways. But even so, even if that's the case, you know, to bring people around, to bring them into the fold, it's not going to be helpful to make people more defensive. It's just not. So how do we say something in a way to say, you know, look, I understand if you have this position, you know, I want to understand more about how you feel that way, how you came to feel that way. I don't agree with you, right? I don't agree with your position, but I want to understand your position, and I want to understand how you got there. Did you always believe it? So that's number two, is using a story. You know, the other thing that I want to share with you is this idea that we also need to be careful about, as much as I say, you know, say what you believe, share your voice. But I think it's really important to also realize that, you know, all truth is tentative. That, I mean, even things that we think of as absolutely true. I mean, at one point, people believed that the earth was flat, and that was absolutely true. At one point, people believed that the earth, that the sun revolved around the earth, and that was absolutely true, right? So we have a lot of things that we believe to be absolutely true that very likely are not absolutely true. There's so much that we don't know. And I think having a little bit of humility about our beliefs, which doesn't mean that we don't have convictions. It doesn't mean that we don't have fundamental values, right? And this is where that tension is, because it's important to, I've always said, it's important to stake a claim. It's important to put that flag in the ground and say, listen, this is what I believe, whether you like it or not. This is who I am. This is what I stand for. And I'm not changing that for anybody. And at the same time, I also think it's important to have a sense of humility and a sense of, really a sense of humility to realize that we don't always know, right? And I've done a whole episodes on another podcast about this idea that you never know. And I don't know if you know the story of you might be familiar with the story of the Zen story of the farmer that his son, he has a son and he's helping him on the farm, and his son breaks his leg and they go, oh, what bad luck. And he says, well, maybe. And then his son, the army comes around to get people into the military, and they don't choose his son because it turns out that, you know, because he has a broken leg, he doesn't end up going into war. And they say, oh my gosh, what good luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And, you know, and the idea being that you just never know. You never know. In a way, we may have core beliefs and core values, and those things don't change, right? But on a particular subject, for example, you know, right now healthcare is being, you know, bandied back and forth about what we're going to do to replace the Affordable Care Act. And it's very hard for me to say, I mean, I don't say, well, is this going to be worse than the Affordable Care Act or better than the Affordable Care Act? There's so many variables, right? I mean, I just don't have enough even if I became a policy wonk and I started digging into the Affordable Care Act, I mean, there were big problems with the Affordable Care Act. It was going to go under at some point. It was not sustainable because not enough healthy people not enough healthy people were signing up for it. So it was mainly sick people that were signing up and became really difficult to get healthy people to sign up. So something had to be done. And then will what replaces it be better if it's more of a free market solution? You know, it's very hard to say. I mean, there's an example where we could have a core value of everyone should have access to healthcare, but then we still have the debate about, well, what's the best way to provide healthcare to people? Is it a free market solution? Is it a single payer solution? You know, and you might say, well, you know, I know it's the best thing as a single payer solution. Maybe, right? Maybe. I mean, we could look at other countries and say, you know, there are pros and cons to countries where they have a single payer solution. You know, so there's good things about that. And then there's things that are difficult about that. So it's very hard to know, very hard to say what is really the best. And so we could say, you know, in situations like that, we could say something like, you know, this is the truth as I see it, but understand that a lot of times what we know to be the truth is really, it's our perspective at this moment. And there can be an evolution. As I've talked about before, there can be an evolution of our voice and an evolution of our positions. And, you know, if you look at where you were, let's say even 10 years ago to now, I am sure that you have had, you know, if you look back, I'm sure that there's been some evolution of your voice over time. I mean, there's just no way that there isn't, right? I mean, there's definitely things that you probably have learned and you've grown and you just change as a person. And that's okay, right? Not only is that okay, but I would say that that's just part of being a human being. So that third principle is really about humility and sharing our voice, but also saying, you know, this is where I am right now. And I understand that as I get more information, you know, maybe this would change. But really looking at, I think it's important for us to realize that the world is not going to be the way that we want it to be all the time, right? And if people have different voices and different opinions, that's good. I mean, that's actually a good thing. You know, as long as those voices aren't promoting hatred and violence, right? Then that's a good thing. And we will talk about, I will do an episode as well about this idea of, you know, is it ever okay to try to silence someone's voice? And sometimes I think it is okay to silence someone's voice if they're saying something extremely horrible or hateful, right? But for the most part, I don't think that's what's happening. I think, you know, as I look around right now and you see, you know, people that are on the right, people on the left, you know, my friends that are conservatives, my friends that are liberals, I don't really believe that people who don't think like me are hateful, xenophobic, bigoted people. I think that they have a perspective on how they think that life will be best, how it can be best for all people. And I have a perspective on how I think life can be best. Do I think that my perspective is more real or more true or better? You know, I don't want to get there. I don't want to get to a place where, I mean, yes, obviously my perspective makes more sense to me because it's my perspective, but I don't want to get to a place where I believe that other people who don't think like me are wrong and terrible, because then that drowns out the cacophony of voices. I think we need all of those voices, right? We need to be able to come together, and it's like a symphony, you know, like it really is like a symphony where our voices come together, and that we can find, even if we don't find common ground, we find a way to allow for each other's voices to be heard in a respectful way. And I think this is something that honestly we're really struggling with right now, about how do we do that. And when you see things like, well, you know, common discourse doesn't work anymore and we have to really go after people and attack them and attack their voices, I don't think that is a good idea. I really don't. Again, unless, you know, unless somebody is truly hateful and truly awful, I just don't see how that's going to be helpful. So again, these are some ways to think about how to share your truth in a way that allows for other people's voices. And so, you know, first thing is really thinking about, you know, speak up on things that you have some personal emotional connection to and that you feel called to connect to. The second part is make sure to share stories and allow for, especially stories about how either yourself or someone else evolved into this position, which allows for the possibility of an evolution of ideas. And then number three is to remember this tentative, you know, that truths are tentative, and to have some humility, you know, when we're sharing our voice, to say, this is how I see the world, this is what makes sense to me. But again, that, you know, to understand that life evolves, information evolves, and that we don't always have all the answers. So with that, keep creating. The world needs your voice. This is Doug Foresto. Back next time with another episode on Creating Change.